Triple M rocks the NRL 24/7 through the Triple M app. Thanks to Ream. Steady, hot and strong. Install a Ream. 2021. What a ride. A year where players have been tested like never before.
The risk to stay in New South Wales was too great, so we were left with no choice but to move all our teams to Queensland.
Every week, a step into the unknown.
Operation Exit, COVID Sydney. Next stop, Queensland's bubbles.
But now, that's all behind us.
The finals are here at last.
We've bid farewell to 10 teams.
Goodbye!
Every moment of the NRL Finals lives here. Now, it's Manly v the Roosters. For Ream and McDonald's, Triple M rocks Finals footy.
And right across New South Wales, Queensland, Triple M listeners, welcome in Finals Week 2. What a game we've got tonight. These two great old rivals, Manly and the Roosters, a rivalry that goes back at least six decades. Of course, they met in the 2013 Grand Final. Those of us who are old enough to remember, they also met in the 72 Grand Final. So it's a wonderful, wonderful rivalry. Before we go to our co-commentators for tonight, we thank our sponsors, Ream and Macca's. And from the week one of the finals, here are the highlights as Triple M rocks the footy.
Inside pass to Green, over the 40, on to Pappenhausen, stepping, weaving, goodbye! That matches Melbourne's biggest win over Manly in a final, and for the seventh straight season, this Melbourne Storm team is into the preliminary final.
Fogarty gets the ball away to Herman. Herman, he looks for, he's thrown it over the sideline.
Just shattered. It was there to be won. We could have been sitting here so happy, but we're not.
And Tony Walker goes over right beside the post. South 16.
Wow.
Penrith 10.
The NRL has got to make a decision on whether they're going to allow coaches to deliberately manipulate the referees and try and influence them.
We played him 3 weeks ago. He was the one that's come out and started mouthing off. So if he's critical, he's critical of himself.
Toto steps in field. They're going to drive him over the sideline.
What about the defence from South Sydney?
Moses, another run at the line, and he's through. He's into the backfield. Get front. This is a wonderful try for Mitchell Moses.
Really good in terms of we build our game, and then we got the rewards at the back end of the half, and that's what we need to do, and just got to build that game and then be prepared to play for the full 40 minutes of each half.
The Eels march on and Penrith awaits.
Yeah, it's been a wonderful week one. All the thrills, all the drama, everything that comes with NRL finals. Teams always take it up a notch. Peter Stirling, you've seen plenty of these. Good evening to you.
Good evening, Anthony, MG and listeners. Yeah, I love finals. It's an exciting last month coming in to see who was actually going to be there for the final month. And now, you know, we start with eight, we're down to six, and it's sudden death, and that's great footy. The Roosters probably one pass away from exiting last week.
Yep.
If Patrick Herbert could have his time again, he would throw that pass. But, you know, sometimes to get through a final series, that, you know, it's like going to Wimbledon. You know, sometimes you've got to play a bad match to get through.
And, yeah.
You know, they had a slice of luck last week, and they'll be keen to take advantage of it up against the Manly side, who really self-imploded, no. They were their own worst enemy in the opening 20, 25 minutes against Melbourne last week. They'll need to be better with their discipline against this Rooster side, that's for sure.
Sterlo touched on the Patrick Herbert incident there, MG. You blokes have played rugby league at the absolute highest level. For people like me who just watch from the sideline, when something like that costs a team a spot in the finals, how long would it take for his teammates not to be off him again?
Oh, as soon as they got back to the dressing room, it would have been fine. I mean, and that's if that was a Melbourne Storm player or a South Sydney player who have been around that type of footy, that pressure, Pat Herbert's probably, it's his first final. Mm. And all of a sudden he's going, I could win the game for us here. And he dummied it and went again. If he had his time over again, he passed it to David Feeder or Corey Thompson straight away.
Yeah.
I felt for the poor bugger.
Most importantly is, you know, in a club, you win together and you lose together.
That's right, yeah.
You know, MG's right. Once they get back to the sheds, really unfortunate that situation happened, but they'll be better for it. I actually think Patrick had too much going through his head.
If you've
got options, sometimes that's a bad thing.
Yeah.
If there's only one there available for you, that's the one you go with. But, you know, he do I go myself? I've got Fifita. Do I let him power through, or do I go wide? In the end, he took too much time and ended up taking the tackle. But that's history now, and the Roosters live to fight another day, and that first fight starts tonight.
Okay, this, of course, the loser leaves. The winner takes on the Rabbitohs next week. We talked about the history of these wonderful club. Roosters played them in the grand final 2013, won that game 26-18. For those of us old enough to remember, 1972 Manly 19, Roosters 14 in a grand final. But, Pete, I can kind of remember growing up in the 70s and 80s and even into the 90s to a certain extent, they were always among the more powerful clubs, these two.
Well, if we're going back into history, absolutely. I've always said that the best club side that I've ever seen, it was the 74-75 Roosters team. And obviously, that was in the news for the latter part of this year in regards to the amount of games won consecutively. But I was also the staunchest Manly supporter that ever lived. And I remember the early grand finals where there was a real English influence back there. Phil Lowe came across, Steve Norton, Malcolm Reilly, of course, Gary Stevens, halfback from over there as well.
Ray Brown, the hooker, played for North.
Gray.
Johnny Gray. Yeah. So, and I love the English influence, and it's been, one that the Canberra Raiders have taken great delight out of having the last couple of seasons. But, going back to those times, of course, the Roosters then were Eastern Suburbs and Manly. Well, at one stage, they had Max Krillage, who was the Australian hooker, playing first grade, and they had Ray Brown in reserve grade. Yeah. He was the other Australian hooker. So they were pretty strong.
Yeah, and to wrap the history lesson up, fellas, it wouldn't have done the there would have been no love lost when blokes like Kerry Boosted and Crusher Cleal changed from one club to the other.
Well, I was a Manly supporter myself. Graham Eady was my favourite player. I was in year six at Wayland Primary School, and the headmaster said, "We've got a couple of visitors coming tomorrow from the rugby league team called Manly." We went, "Oh, wow." And out come Graham Eady and Simon Booth. And that was, I started following Manly. And I watched my uncle up at Patonga, up at Central Coast, lived next door to Keith Eady, which was Graham's brother.
Right. So, mm-hmm.
He got me a Manly jersey, and I had it on my wall. I loved Manly. And up until I started playing for Penrith, I was a mad Manly fan.
Well, maybe the greatest one ever, Bob Fulton.
Of course. Yeah.
Went across and he was captain coach at the Roosters there, maybe the last captain coach we've seen. That was a surprise, obviously. But, your loyalty changes as a supporter fairly quickly in regards to players who go from one club to another. You drop off them fairly quickly. I actually did at school. I did a modern history examination on Bob Fulton.
Wow.
And got good marks, too. So that's, they meant a lot to me back then. But, both these clubs, it's been fantastic over. Well, Manly have won a premiership in every decade, going back from the, I think, 60s or 70s. And the Roosters as well, they've been a powerhouse, certainly, over the last decade as well. So this is a really good contest. I'm really looking forward to this one in regards to Manly, who started the season so poorly, have come home with a wet sail. The Roosters, well, they've just hung in, haven't they?
Yeah.
They've got so many class players. If you go back to round one, I think their front row then was Lindsay Collins, Jake Friend, and another front
Jared,
row.
Jared, was it?
Might have been Tauke Aho.
Oh, yeah. And I think Halgrove's come off the bench.
The halfback was Luke Keary. So things have changed from them quickly this season. But to have been in contention for a top four finish going into the last 2 weeks is testimony to what they've been able to achieve under duress and adversity.
Mm. Have you seen anything like that, Pete? I mean, in terms of a club losing three to retirement through injury and then to have another four or five miss pretty much all the season?
Not in such numbers. I'm sure it has. And the thing we gauge, coming into, you're asked about your thoughts, coming to finals football, and you just say, well, it comes down to the health of the roster. And generally, that's what it does. So for the Roosters to be still in there swinging and not being, I can't write them off in this game.
No.
I can't write them off in any game because, they've had players come in and just get a job done. How long that can continue remains to be seen, but I wouldn't be surprised if they could beat Manly in this game and go into a grand final qualifier. There's enough there for them to do that. And the way they play their football and the way that they're prepared to scrap it out for 80 minutes, they're not going away.
Yeah. MG, that's the point Pete makes there. So this is still a club that fields Jarrabaria Hargraves, Crichton, Victor Radley, Josh Morris, Tedesco.
Tupanua.
Yeah.
Yeah, like I've... Seven of these guys were playing for North Sydney Bears for the first four or five rounds this year. You know, the likes of the Kierans, Ikavalu, Hutchinson, Sam Walker, Butcher, Baker, the Candlestick Makers, everyone. And Joseph Suwali, and he's not playing, and Joseph Manu's not there. You mentioned, like, there, it's been a heroic season. I've never seen a season like it from any other club that's knocked on the door so many times, and basically they are the walking zombies of our competition. They just keep getting up, no matter how hard you hit them and what you hit them with. They just keep coming at you, and I'm like Sterlo. There's no way I can say they can't win tonight. Because if you write them off, your own peril.
Yeah, the coach has handled it magnificently.
Oh, yeah,
like,
yeah.
He's never ever looked to...
Rattled.
He's always... Whenever somebody's gone down, his reaction to that is, it's an opportunity for someone else.
Yeah, that's right.
And, you know, that's what our club is all about. And we have standards, and when you come up and you get that opportunity, we expect you to take it with two hands. And so many of these players have. You know, it's wonderful. But again, unless they can go on with it and really turn it into something superb, it'll be forgotten about down the track. So,
badly.
You know, they're still, if they're good enough, they're still close enough. But, you know, they're doing it with a very different looking football team than what we would have expected in the early rounds of this year.
Okay, and this game being played up there in beautiful Mackay, great to see regional Queensland getting so many big games for obvious reasons. But this one in Mackay, MG, I noticed that you were looking at some notes on Mackay when I came in today.
Well, it's a sugar town of Queensland, which a lot are, I suppose. Population of around 82,000. This weekend's probably 182,000. Mm. Just some notable celebrities or personalities that have come from... Well, first rugby league, Wendell Saylor, Ben Barber. This is Daly Cherry Evans' home ground. He's played on this game as a kid. Dane Gagai, Kalen Ponga. And then we've got Jeff Hugel, the swimmer. Jodie Gordon, she's an actress.
An actress, she was.
Home and Away.
Yeah.
And the great Kathy Freeman.
Oh, of course, Kathy Freeman.
And I was listening to Morning Breakfast this morning with Moo Man, and he was interviewing Steve Jackson, the hero of 89.
Yeah, right.
Final. He now lives up there.
Yeah.
And he said the buzz in the town, like, this is something that we'll never see again in Mackay. This is something, Sterlo, that they're going to be talking about forever. And saying, remember that time that we hosted two NRL elimination finals?
Oh, can you imagine the teams playing in a grand final in Brisbane first time? And will be the only time you would imagine, with good luck, that things will slot in back next year. But just a couple of notables there that you had. Wendell Saylor, how many hometowns has he had?
He's got about eight.
Serena, like basically North Queensland.
And Wollongong.
And Kalen Ponga, I didn't realise. I'm pretty sure Kalen was actually born in Western Australia and
Port Hedland.
Way over into New Zealand there. So he spent some time there as well.
Yeah. So that's what Wikipedia says anyway.
Wikipedia also says, and has done for the past decade, that I have a son called James.
Really?
Yes.
You haven't?
No.
Are you sure?
No. So, yeah, take that as will. I'm gonna have to change that.
When you get around to it.
Contact the moderator.
Yeah. Just a quick one here for you, Pete. What are your thoughts on... If it was a perfect world, not a COVID world, then you are not a fan of the grand final being played in different cities around Australia.
No, I think that Sydney is traditionally where it's been, and I think that is, that's the central hub for everything. There were some other options mentioned outside of Sydney in regards to maybe Perth looking at this one. Auckland was, I think, mentioned at some stage, but Brisbane is the ideal place.
Yep.
If Sydney wasn't available, Brisbane certainly the place to go. But no, I'm a traditionalist in so many ways, and we've lost way too many traditions in our game. But it should always be a Sydney Grand Final.
And you feel like that, MG?
Yeah, I do. I like the AFL. Obviously, are in the same uncharted waters as we are. They're playing their Grand Final in Perth. So just before we go to the break, I was just watching J-Moz and Josh Morris getting together with the right side defence, Tupanua, Ikavalu, Lachie Lamb, and Sam Walker. You just don't realise how valuable he is to this team. 324 games of NRL, and he's one of the reasons they're still ticking where they are. Him and his brother earlier in the year were phenomenal.
How do you feel if you're him every game you go into could be your last.
Yeah, well, Gerd said that last week because he was retiring in 2003, the year they won the comp. And you're thinking to yourself every time, this could be my last game. That could be my last try. So it's a bit of a celebration.
Morris Brothers, I think, played some of their best football in the last two or three years.
They were amazing.
When you consider how good they've been for so long, but they found something. Yeah. Like, I just thought, you know, they'll end up in the English Super League over there and, you know, play some really good footy over there, great finishes, and the English crowds love that kind of stuff. But when they were picked up for a bargain basement price by the Roosters, you thought, well, okay, well, you know, they'll do a good job. I never envisaged that they could have the effect that both players have had over the last couple of seasons.
Yeah, we're certainly going to miss them. Well, it's Triple M NRL, Canadian Club. Over beer? Well, Canadian Club wants to stock your fridge. Give it a try over finals period. Canadian Club, Sterlo, MG. We've got Ben Dobbin. We'll catch up with him shortly. And Maroon here as Triple M rocks the finals.
Triple M's NRL primetime for Canadian Club. Over beer? Well, Canadian Club wants to stock your fridge. For McDonald's and Ream Hot Water, Triple M rocks footy.
Welcome back as we rock the finals. Now we've got some major team news for you Penrith supporters. Stay right there. This is hot off the press. I'll give it to you in 1 second. But first, we've got to go down to the sideline there where our man Ben Dobbin on the sideline at BB Prince Stadium. Come in, Dobbo.
Yeah, very good evening, gentlemen, and welcome to week two of the semi-finals from Mackay. You talk about sugarcane. Well, I don't know what else there actually is up here in Mackay, but I tell you what, the crowd is building nicely, the field is smick, and look, there is one late change. Obviously, playing his 200th game for Manly, Marty Tapau will start from the bench, and Sean Kepi will start wearing the 16 jersey. We still don't know what the involvement of Sam Walker will be. I know he only played 6 minutes last week, but the mail is that he obviously, with Ben Marski, who is wearing the number 20 jersey and playing as hooker, there will be probably involvement from Sam Walker a little early. Manly won the toss. They're running right to left and the crowd's building nicely and this game has everything. And there's some really interesting stats coming out of this one, but all six times that the Roosters and Manly have met in the finals, the winner of this game has gone on to play in the grand final. So I don't know if that's an omen, but maybe whoever wins this, history would show that they go on to the grand final. So who knows? Who knows? But we're in Mackay. We got here for both games and loving being up here. Very hospitable.
Dobbo. Before I let you go, I need a little bit more than the ground is schmick.
I'm comparing it, and no disrespect to Rockhampton last week, but this is as good as any NRL ground. There's no breeze. It's 21 degrees. It's been a cracking day up here. There normally is a breeze. This is obviously running north to south, this field.
Well, hang on.
And we're right on the coast here.
I need to know, is this going to be a fast pitch where it's going to be like an afternoon surface?
Very much so. Yeah.
That's good.
Was that good enough for you, Sterling?
Night games are different to after
yes,
games, that's 100%. All.
100%.
And
this field is in very good nick, though.
Okay, great. Yeah. So we should see kind of an open style.
Both tonight and tomorrow night, Sterling, hopefully.
Yeah. From Parramatta's point of view, they're a far better afternoon team than a night team.
So, thanks, Dobbo. We'll come back to you shortly now.
Some no dramas.
Major news here for Penrith supporters. Penrith coach Ivan Cleary has reduced his squad to face Para. Brent Naden is back in the starting side in place of winger Brian To'o, who has been sidelined with a minor ankle complaint. Brian To'o out of the side, Pete.
Massive. Well, that's huge news.
Massive.
That's, you know, that he obviously missed some football coming out of Origin, and they missed what he did at both ends of the field. Like, the metres that he makes, the tough metres coming off his own line, they're like gold to the Penrith side, and he's a fantastic finisher. Brett Naden, you know, has obviously played a lot of first-grade football, but I don't think he can be as damaging either. And he's got good footwork and all those kind of things. But To'o being out, it's a blow, no doubt about that.
Yeah, Brian Tyler's had a magnificent last 12 months and maybe 18 months since he's got a meteoric rise to fame. And what he does as a forward, Brian Tyler is like gold, because what he does, he gets the ball and he runs 10 metres more to the opposition than most wingers do. That means as a forward, you don't have to run back 10 metres as far. So you're conserving your energy a bit more when you're a forward.
Yeah.
So to miss a bloke like that in such a big game is profound. He's... he's one of the heartbeats of this team, along with Nathan Cleary and James Fisher-Harris and Isaiah Yeo. To have him out is going to be hard to fill.
I go back to when Cronulla won. I think it was in 2015, I 16. Think. 16, was it? Mm. You go back to their back three then. They were enormous. Guys like Ricky Latelli. They really set up a premiership for them. You know, you go and have a look through. I think, was it Ben Barber might have been?
He was in that side, yeah.
Mm. Their back three were very, very good and really didn't get kind of the plaudits that a lot of the higher-profile players did. It's coming out off your own end. Your back three are so important, and Toto's right up there with the very best of them.
All right, that's the big news right now. Brian Toto will not play in the Penrith side to take on Parramatta. And once again, we talk about the great rivalries. These two sides, Parramatta and Penrith, go head-to-head tomorrow. Rarely do they in finals footy. I think maybe twice before. I've got some stats here. Yeah, I've got some stats here about that. The third time Penrith will play Para in a finals, and Para have won their both previous occasions, but it's a great old rivalry. Even this time round, Pete, we see four ex-Penrith players in the Parramatta side. How are you seeing the game?
I'm really looking forward to it. I'm excited about it. I think the question mark is, can Parramatta reproduce the kind of form they did against Melbourne in round 24, where they kind of turned their season around? That was after they picked up a pretty scrappy win against North Queensland the week before. And Penrith, I thought that they had a sense of timing coming into this finals series, because I mentioned Origin. You know, that was quite taxing on them, both physically and mentally, because they had something like six representatives involved there. But they got them all back. Now, with Toto not being there, it kind of disrupts that little bit. But, yeah, there's feeling between the clubs. There's no doubt about that, and I love that. It's a local derby being played a long way from home. I don't think Regan Campbell-Gillard actually kind of left in the greatest of circumstances, where he sort of was quite vocal about having to get out of the joints. And, you don't forget that. So there are nice little undercurrents to this game. And the fact that their borders meet, I just think is a nice part of it as well. The four Sydney teams in action this weekend is really exciting.
But you think that being so close geographically, it'd be more hatred. But it's not as bad as, say,
South Roosters.
Mm. What they have done over the last 30 or 40 years, Parramatta and Penrith, has produced an amazing amount of juniors that have filled it all through the competition.
Yeah, but we hate you. I hate you.
You don't hate me.
No, the worst thing was I got to know you. That's the worst thing.
But they should have a big tick on their back for the juniors they've produced and they can't hold on to, that other clubs then pick up. And you've always get one. This is going to be a close game tomorrow night. They take away that game like 2 weeks ago when Parramatta rested all their players and Penrith put a big score on them. But the last four or five games have all only been about 24, 26 points, Pete.
Well, the game two-thirds of the way through the season, that was obviously a 13-12 win to Penrith. Parramatta had a kick to win that. At the end, I'm not paying much attention to round 25 games.
So that's week before Origin 3.
Parramatta rested like nine players in that round 25. I think it's either going to be a 1 point or it's going to be a
blowout.
20-odd point game. I don't see an 8-10 margin. I see either a really close game or a substantial scoreline in it.
Who are you tipping?
Oh, I'll tip Penrith.
Okay, and you, MG?
Yeah.
Yep. I tell you what, though, whoever does win that game, it's a tough road to hoe, isn't it? Because...
Well, Melbourne await you.
Yeah, a fresh Melbourne to get into the grand final. But I tell you what, if you're on the other side of the draw, if you're Souths, and you're thinking, if a team could knock Melbourne over to get into the grand final, well, that team that's knocked Melbourne over has got to be pretty bashed up.
Well, yeah. But if you get there and think you've got any advantage, you're in trouble.
That's right.
We are, I suppose, we've been a little bit confused because everybody, including myself, was expecting a Penrith-Melbourne grand final. And then with South winning last week, I didn't think it was an upset last week. I know that they weren't the favoured team, but I've always thought South Sydney were capable of taking this premiership out. When they lost Rochelle Mitchell, you thought, well, it's got to be, much tougher in his absence. But that's kind of throwing us a little bit in regards to now we've got the two big guns, the teams that finished first and second, on the same side of the draw. But if South Sydney think that that's an advantage, then that's counterproductive for them. And no doubt Wayne Bennett will have it clear in their minds that, just because it hasn't panned out the way everybody expected, You've got to be at your best to win this premiership.
All right, 28
minutes.
What do you
mean you're smiling? You're just sitting there smirking.
No, mate.
The South Sydney
smirk. Like
you just flexed your bicep there to show me the South Sydney tattoo.
But you see,
take on a larger form.
Well, mate, I'm just a fan. So, I mean, I'm just looking at it from a fan point of view.
You're a fanatical fan.
Yeah, that's it. But, I mean, I'm not an expert.
You're curling your moustache.
Yeah, I can't wait.
Hope it doesn't come back and bite you.
Well, I think they're going to get there. I think the Bunnies are going to get there. Winning it might be another thing, but I tell you what. Anyway, this is all thanks to Canadian Club over beer. Well, Canadian Club wants to stock your fridge. It's MG, it's Sterlo, it's Ben Dobbin and Maroon. We're going to take a break and come back and take a look at Manly as Triple M rocks the finals.
Triple M's NRL primetime for Canadian Club. Over beer? Well, Canadian Club wants to stock your fridge. For McDonald's and Ream Hot Water. Triple M rocks footy.
Welcome back. Canadian Club try one across the NRL finals period. Sterlo, MG, Maroon and Roosters play Manly. Mackay in about 13 minutes till kickoff. We haven't spoke much about Manly. We look at this side, Sterlo, and obviously the first thing that pops into your head is Tom Trbojevic, but this Manly side very experienced around the halves.
Absolutely. And whilst Tom Trbojevic has been the absolute standout, like there's been a fair support cast and the experience of Boren and Cherry Evans is paramount when you come into these kind of games. Talking a little bit about them earlier, you know, they'll have learnt from last week, and the beauty for Manly was that they actually got into that top four position, and the dusty performance for them was last week. Way too many errors. They gave away too many penalties, six against. And you can't do that against Melbourne. We know that Melbourne are the best front runners in the competition, and they start well in the first 20, 25 minutes, then your backs are against the wall, and that's where Manly found themselves. Went back and had a look at the last 20 minutes and the first 8 or 10 touches of Tom Trbojevic. They were all 10, 15 metres from his own line, retrieving kicks, bringing the ball back against a purple defensive line, brick wall.
A wall, yeah.
Now, can the Roosters do that to Tom Trbojevic tonight? That's what they'll be trying to do. Now, they'll need to learn something from that. But Manly just need to be better in the parts of the game where you can't have errors. They were 40% completion rate last week. That's not going to get it done in finals football. I think the big inclusion for them, and he's not mentioned too much in this side, is Lachlan Croker, who was out with that back stiffness last week. That was the skinny area for Manly coming into the competition as to who they're going to play at hooker. And it took a little while to establish that. And it was Lachlan Croker who's really developed a good game now. He gives them a crisp pass. He gets a nice wide pass, which gives a little bit of space straight away to his halfbacks. But he's really solid in there, and he's a bit of a threat himself as well. So I think just having him back will be add a little bit of solidity. They'll be more solid with him operating out of dummy half because he's had a great second half of the season.
All right.
Well, he's played 24 games for them this year, Sterlo. And when you miss a guy who's kind of been like a bit of a glue for you around the ruck area, that when he's not putting his boots on before a game against Melbourne, you kind of, you're a little bit apprehensive. And don't forget, Melbourne, Manly put everything into coming fourth. They've been redlining for a long time. And coincidentally, the teams that rested players week before last, Melbourne, Paris, South, all look good. So there might be something in resting players. And they didn't have the luxury, Manly, because they had to beat the Cowboys last game for them to come fourth. So maybe now they've done that, they've had their loss. They'll definitely be better than they were against Melbourne last week. But as Sterlo said, can the Roosters do what they did to Tommy Turbo? If they can, what's plan B? What's their plan? Get Schuster involved more, if I was them.
Yep. Okay, look, boys, we've got an interview here, courtesy of Channel 9. Channel 9's Emma Lawrence with Des Hasler. This only happened a couple of minutes ago. Here it is.
Des, I know you weren't happy with your discipline last week. Where else do you need to be better?
I think it pretty well covers it. Yeah, I'm pretty poor with the ball.
The boys have said big part of your success up here has been steering clear of each other on your days off. Did they also get Des free days this week?
Possibly.
Yeah. Do you think that's been a big part of it, having a break from footy as well?
Oh, you've got to keep it even avenue, really.
Yeah, for sure. And the Roosters, they've been through so much this season.
Yeah,
how, where
brave,
are you?
Yeah, very brave side. Yeah. and they'll be tough again tonight. We can guarantee that.
Good luck, Des. Thanks for your time.
Thanks a lot, Emma.
Well done, Em. Well done, Em. It's a little bit like Wayne Bennett, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's not the easiest interview in the world. Coming through with Des, like Des, obviously, he was an opponent for me for many, many years. You see some players who you think they'll go into coaching. Never saw it in Des.
Yeah.
Never saw it in Des. He was a school teacher.
Yeah.
Came in. Quiet. He was the quietest bloke in the world. It was a little bit like we had a guy called Neil Hunt who played in the wing for us. We nicknamed him Guilty because he always looked like he was. The head was down. Yeah. And, you know, so he kind of thought, well, he's done something.
Yeah.
Des was a little bit like that, you know. He's been what a wonderful, wonderful coach.
Yeah.
But he's terrible to put a microphone in front of and think you're going to get anything.
Exactly.
Apart from praise for the opposition team playing.
Exactly the same as you say. I toured with him in 1990 on the Kangaroo Tour, and him and Johnny Lewis and Dale Rowley Shearer stayed, and Brandy to a lesser degree, in a room reading cups of tea. And he would have been the last bloke who would have said went into the cutthroat world of coaching. And now that he is, I love him as a coach. He's like a box of chocolates. You never know what you're going to get with him.
And great, he's been great since he got back to Manly, hasn't he, last few years?
Yeah, yeah.
Boys, let's take a break. We'll come back because after the other side of this break, it should be just about time for kickoff. We'll get the boys to give us a tip and a bold prediction as Triple M rocks the finals.
Triple M's NRL primetime for Canadian Club. Over beer? Well, Canadian Club wants to stock your fridge. Triple M rocks the NRL 24/7 through the Triple M app. Thanks to Ream. Steady, hot and strong. Install a Ream.